and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Stacey Lynn in Washington. Dueling abortion rulings. One judge has ordered the FDA temporarily halt its approval of the drug mifepristone, while another judge ruled the exact opposite. Legal analyst Lori Levinson explains.
A federal judge in Texas who was handpicked by people who oppose abortions, saying you cannot send out the abortion pill, although that's on hold for 7 days. And another judge elsewhere saying you must still make it available, at least until there's a higher court that says otherwise.
Mifepristone's the most common abortion drug in the country. Supreme Court Justice Clarence Thomas is getting called out for accepting gifts for years from a big Republican donor. Correspondent Scott McFarland tells us Congress wants the court now to investigate.
A group of top Democrats are asking the Chief Justice of the United States to launch an internal investigation of Justice Clarence Thomas's acceptance of travel from billionaire Harlan Crow of Texas.
Thomas defended the trip, saying he didn't disclose them at the time because he was told he didn't have to. There's been a lot of reaction to Republicans in Tennessee expelling two black state representatives who held gun control protests on the chamber floor. Ramesh Akbari is the state Senate minority leader.
When you stop people who have been elected by the people from doing their will, that is when democracy dies.
Two of the Tennessee three were ousted, Justin Pearson and Justin Jones, while Gloria Johnson kept her seat by one vote. Documents marked top secret were leaked from the Pentagon. Our Mara Rubin with details.
The materials outline a wealth of information about the Ukrainian and Russian militaries and include American and NATO plans for building up the Ukrainian military ahead of a planned offensive against Russia.
The Pentagon's now trying to determine how the material was leaked. Well, they're already dealing with a water crisis. Now trash is piling up in Jackson, Mississippi, because the city's leaders are at a standstill over who should pick it up. Residents aren't happy.
It's kind of expedited us wanting to get out of the city of Jackson just because of some of these issues, water issues and trash issues and different things like that. It just makes it so difficult for us. So we're like, yeah, we need to get out of here.
CBS's Steve Kathan reports on a new treatment for those suffering long COVID.
54-year-old Jennifer Henderson hadn't been able to smell or taste things like she used to after she got COVID in January of 2021. Then at the Cleveland Clinic, she got an SGB injection.
Smell it first. See if you can smell it.
Smelling coffee for the first time in about 2 years.
SGB is normally used to treat pain and post-traumatic stress. This is CBS News.
Streamline how you hire with Indeed. Their powerful hiring platform makes it easy to attract, interview, and hire candidates all in the same place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Are you someone who tries to drive while distracted by your phone? Someone who props it up on the steering wheel or peeks down at it for a glance? Or just scrolls and scrolls? If so, you could be the next person to get into a fender bender, get a ticket, veer off the road, or even cause a crash that kills you or someone else. Enough with the phones already. Put them down and pay attention, or pay the price. You drive, you text, you pay. Paid for by NHTSA.
Adopt US Kids presents What to Expect When You're Expecting a Teenager. Learning the Lingo.
GOAT, G-O-A-T, acronym, stands for Greatest of All Time. As in, spaghetti sandwiches for dinner? They're my fave. Dad, you're the GOAT.
You don't have to speak teen to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same. Visit AdoptUSKids.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, Adopt U.S. Kids, and the Ad Council.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio, WFHR. Overcast skies overnight with a chance of snow. Lows level off around 31. Winds out of the east, 8 to 15 miles per hour. Chance for snow again tomorrow. Highs around 53. Cloudy skies expected. Partly cloudy skies tomorrow night. Lows dip down to about 32. A dusting of snow overnight. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 38.
Welcome to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small, your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource at lake-link.com.
Outdoors Radio is also brought to you by Ducks Unlimited. Find out about their upcoming DU Expo at duckexpo.com. And by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources Hunter Education Program, dnr.wi.gov. I'm Dan Small. Today we'll get some advice for next weekend's youth turkey hunt. Retired DNR wildlife technician Jeff Wilson returns to tell us a story from his new book, Wrong Tree. And we'll learn about this year's Great Wisconsin Birdathon, which starts next weekend. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio, so stay right there. If you're ever in a motor vehicle accident, call Hupe and Abraham, named best personal injury law firm by the Wisconsin Law Journal, year after year. The firm of Hupe and Abraham has collected more than $1 billion for its clients. In fact, they collect millions of dollars every month for hundreds of satisfied clients. Call the firm voted best and rated best, Hupe and Abraham, 800-800-5678, or visit hupe.com. And all 11 offices of Hupe and Abraham in Wisconsin, Iowa, and Illinois are open for business. And the firm of Hupe and Abraham has paid thousands of dollars in rewards to help solve crimes in the Milwaukee area. Michael Hupe is the president of Milwaukee Crime Stoppers, and he's offering a $25,000 reward for the next anonymous tip that solves a homicide case. So if you've got a tip on an unsolved homicide case, visit MilwaukeeCrimeStoppers.com. Well, joining me from Wisconsin Rapids, Jeff Kelm. Well, Jeff, gosh, spring break is over. Have a chance to do any fishing?
Yeah, a little bit of fishing on the Wisconsin River. Just as the water was coming up after the last set of rain and finally getting some melt off, some runoff from the North Country into the system. And, you know, water temps are still very cold at that time. I think the highest we saw as we got off the water was 35.9. So, yeah, definitely cold yet at that time. But you could just kind of feel like the river's about to, you know, break loose as far as fishing. We caught a mess of fish, just a simple jig and a minnow and finding some of the eddies below Nakusa there, above Petenwell. We did run up to the mouth of the lake, and it seemed like a lot of fish had already pushed forward into the river. Most of the fish we caught were males in that 15 to 16 inch range. In fact, you know, that slot limit, you can't keep anything under 15 or you know, and only one over 28. We caught all but one of our fish. It was actually right in the keeper range, right between that 15 and 20 inches. It was neat to see. A lot of times you catch, you know, you might catch a bunch of males, but they're all that 14 to 14 and a half. So it was kind of neat to be able to catch those fish in that keeper range.
Yeah, or on the 12th side of 14. You know?
Yes, absolutely, yeah.
Oh, well, that's good. So you got some walleye fillets then.
Yeah, absolutely. It was fun to do. You know, I don't get a chance to go out too often, even though the river's just a few minutes away from my house. So it was great to be able to shake down some equipment. Went out with my buddy Todd, you know, and he's a fishing guide in the summertime, and he had the boat out, and you know, he asks me just about every year, just about the last, I'd say 5-6 years, I've gone out with him on his very first trip onto the water, and much of that trip is spent making sure that everything still works, you know.
Does it work?
Electronics and all that. And so I spent a lot of time just kind of hanging out in the passenger seat until everything works, and then we go fishing for a while. This time around, we did have a few equipment issues, so he was dealing with that as I was catching fish. I was okay with that. I really was.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, speaking of boats, I'm picking up my Crestliner Fishhawk 1750 from Cedar Lake Sales on probably Tuesday of this coming week. So I will have it for opening day and maybe even a little river fishing before then, although no specific plans yet. I'm looking forward to getting that boat and having it fill up a parking spot in the yard. As you know, I don't have a lot of spots, but we've got four vehicles there, a trailer, and maybe a UTV coming back in a boat. It kind of looks like a used car lot.
Fills up quick, yeah.
Yeah, it does. Well, and you are getting ready for honey season, aren't you?
Yeah,
honey,
I'm getting the bees.
Not hunting, honey.
Honey, yes, honey, yeah. Bees will be active. They really have started just on a couple of warm days getting active. But swarm season will be upon us. And, you know, I really encourage anybody who sees a honeybee swarm, which will generally just be a big ball of bees, won't be in a paper nest hive. A lot of folks kind of get that incorrect. A ball of bees will just kind of be sitting out, hanging out somewhere. If you find one, don't spray them. Call somebody. Get a hold of someone. There's so many resources online, on social media, that you can reach out to, and somebody may be interested in coming to get those and saving them from getting into somebody's house where they may be exterminated, or at least giving them a safe place for them to live, so that they can live out their lives and possibly benefit the community by being able to give back some honey and things like that.
Absolutely. Well, and the youth turkey hunt is next weekend. Are you looking at that as a possibility?
I am looking at that as a possibility. I'd love to say that's going to be a go, but there's a lot of questions yet, travel and all kinds of things going on. It's just so many things shoved into a schedule when you've got so many weekends to work in a season.
Yeah, and two kids.
And two kids, that's right.
Well, I'll be presenting a seminar this coming Monday night, April 10th, at the Moose Lodge in Kenosha. That's a meeting of the Kenosha Sport Fishing and Conservation Association. The meeting starts at 7, and I hope folks can come on out and say hello, and I will post on my Facebook page the details on what I'm talking about and where it is. It's actually, I mentioned it, the Moose Lodge there. And speaking of April 10th, that's the first day of the virtual Wisconsin Conservation Congress and DNR spring hearings. You were a member for a couple of years, I think. Voting is virtual now. And there's information on the DNR website under the keyword spring hearing. So check that out. And it's important for us to participate, even if we can't do it in person, isn't it?
Yeah, it's absolutely important. I mean, these are rules that will affect, sometimes immediately be in effect, sometimes immediately after voting and running through the process. Sometimes they will affect what we see a generation to come. So we're really, really important that you go and look and vote and educate yourself and get your voice known.
Yep. Again, DNR website, keyword spring hearings, and the voting starts at noon on Monday and runs through noon on next Thursday, the 13th, I believe that is. Well, coming up, retired DNR wildlife technician Jeff Wilson, he was on the show a couple weeks ago. He returns now to tell us a story from his new book, Wrong Tree. We'll also learn about the Natural Resources Foundation's Great Wisconsin Birdathon, going on now through June 15th, or going on April 15th through June 15th, and DNR Hunter Education Administrator Mike Weber shares some advice for a safe spring turkey hunt. All that and more coming up on Outdoors Radio. Flo has made world-class recreational and utility trailers for 40 years, and the industry-leading innovations keep on coming. Choose an all-aluminum UT model or Cargo Max, the only utility trailer with a molded polymer bed, integrated sides, and an engineered aluminum frame. With either one, you'll know you don't have just any old trailer. If a new trailer is on your mind, check out FLOEINTL.com. Flo Trailers, where the rubber meets the road.
Let us be your guide, Florence County, Wisconsin.
Are you looking for that perfect Northwoods destination for outdoor recreation? Florence County has over 200,000 acres of uncrowded public land with 160 plus miles of beautiful ATV-UTV trails, many lakes and rivers to fish or paddle, seven wild river waterfalls to explore, horse trails with campgrounds, and friendly bars and restaurants. Go to exploreflorencecounty.com and plan your trip today.
Introducing the all-new OutdoorNews.com, the most trusted source for all things out of doors in the Great Lakes region, just got better. At OutdoorNews.com, you'll now have full access to every outdoor news story, breaking news and updates, our comprehensive fishing and hunting reports, pro tips, and much more for our seven-state region and beyond. Top hunters and anglers look to Outdoor News to keep them up to date and ahead of the crowd. Now it's easier than ever with the all-new OutdoorNews.com.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Recently, I spoke with Jeff Wilson and Terry Dalton, a husband and wife couple who wrote and illustrated a new book called Wrong Tree, and their website is wrongtreebook.com. And we asked Jeff to come back and tell us one of the stories from this book, because it really is a fascinating history of his time as a wildlife technician in Wisconsin's woods, and especially the North Woods of Ashland and Iron Counties, working with bears and loons and ospreys and eagles and beavers and other critters like that. And then their travels around the world doing contract work for other biologists doing research. Lots of great stories, and Jeff joins us again. Jeff, thanks for taking time to join us again.
My pleasure to be here, Dan.
Why don't you pick a story that you like to tell, and without reading it, just tell us the story, one of the stories from your book.
Be glad to. The story I thought I might tell is one I call A Bird in the Hand. This is about the mid-80s or early 80s. I'm stationed at Mercer as a wildlife tech. I work for a man named John Olson, who's the wildlife manager there. And we've been doing a lot of work to try to restore the endangered osprey at that time. We put up osprey platforms, which is nest habitat, and that helped a lot. Earlier than that, the government had banned DDT and organic chlorides. That was the real main flaw that brought back the population, because they were definitely affected by these toxins. But John and my role was the platforms, as well as we then nest site management plans and things like this. And we did flights to record productivity to some degree. But anyway, in the mid-80s, we get a call from a man named Don Fallon. And he said he'd like to ban some ospreys. And would we help him? And boy, we just immediately got excited about that. You know, we were in our 30s, but it's kind of like when you take a kid to the frog pond, you know, and he hears the frog sing, and maybe he sees him swimming. But place that frog in a child's hand, and it just starts magic.
Yep.
Well, we had that in us, too. And all of a sudden, now we were going to get to climb up a tree, and we were going to get to band an osprey. And Don wanted to collect this data because he wanted to learn some things about migration routes. Do our birds in Wisconsin go down to Central or South America? And do they come back? And, you know, we could learn this from marking birds with bands. So the day is coming about, and like I said, we had climbed trees before. So Don's going to arrive, and Don has the master banding status from the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service to place bands on. He's going to train us how to do this. So the day arrives, and prior to the day, John kind of talks to me, and he says, you know, Jeff, we've got to really impress Don. You know, we don't know this man. He's got some status in this, and he's a private bander with all these certifications. We're to represent the DNR, so let's really make sure this looks professional. So Jeff, he says, kind of, you know, don't ask too many questions. Let's just let Don do the talking, and let's really look good. And he says, in fact, let's wear our uniforms. You know, the ones we give talks with that have the patch on the left-hand sleeve, so we really look pro. Well, the day arrives. We got our equipment up. And here comes Don, and John says, he'd drive the boat with the equipment, and I'd ride with Don. So I'm in the truck with Don, and here's Don. He's got a sweaty old T-shirt. He's got a beat-up ball cap, his long sideburns, his hair sticking out. He looks a really weathered skin. This guy's been out and walked the walk, so to speak.
Yeah.
And I'm immediately like this guy. Well, we get to the site. It's just out of Mercer. It's on Jay. It's called North Bass Lake. And at the landing, Don runs us through the protocol of how to safely handle this endangered species, how to be so quiet, how to put the lock-on band on, how to handle a bird in the nest, what to do if you have a jumper. I patiently, and John patiently listens to all this, and we look across the lake, and we can see the bird on the platform. The adult's there, and she's got her wings out, she's brooding her young, And so we get in the boat, we head across. I'm driving the boat. Don's in the middle. John's in the front. We get to shore, and we don't say a word. John gets out. He ties up. We pass the gear up to Don. We lay it out on the bank. And then we, after we secure the boat, we get up. And John and I put on our climbing spikes and our climbing harnesses, and we attach the rope to John, and we head over to the tree, and up we start. And boy, I'm feeling pretty excited. I mean, this is it. We're going to finally get the handle on these birds. Well, hopefully two or three of them, depending on how many of the clutch is. Up we go, 10 feet. We're up 20 feet, 30 feet. I'm finally, you know, we get into a canopy of dense branches, so I can't see much ahead of me. Just see the rope going up, and I'm following the rope. It's our descending rope. It's attached to John. And we get to what I think is about 50 feet, not quite to the nest, and all of a sudden the rope stops. But I keep climbing, and I bump something. I look up, and I bumped John's rear end. And I thought, this is strange. So I look up, and John looks down. His face is ashen. He's just looks horrified. I mean, something is not right here. So I kind of climb up closer, and I stick my neck out, and he sticks his neck down. I say, "What's the matter, John?" And he looks at me in the eye, and then his ashen face turns to a big white grin, and he says, "Wrong tree." All of a sudden, then, I look across, and there I can see about 30 feet away is another tree, and there's that osprey in it. And here we are trying to look so professional to Don, and we look like total idiots. So down we go, one at a time. We get to the ground. John walks right over to the correct tree and starts up. And as I walk by Don, he says, "What happened?" I says, "Wrong tree." And he goes, "Oh, that's happened to me once too." Anyway, we went up the correct tree. We banded the birds. We descended out. We get in the boat because we don't want to talk or anything on the ground under the birds. And we get about halfway across the lake, and all of a sudden, we all just broke into the incredible laughter. In fact, we laughed all day long. And I can tell you, Don Fallon became a very good friend. We banded with him for years. We've actually banded now, I think, with Bruce Bacon, my next supervisor, close to 500 nestlings. We learned a lot of data on our birds. We put color bands on those birds, monitored their returns. But that episode was an example of just a fun day, a crazy thing that happened, and a lifetime friendship.
Well, Jeff, that's a great story, and I remember reading that story, so I didn't want to give it away. I'm no psychologist, but my guess is that you two, and I, maybe all three of you, were letting out the tension of working with a new person and trying, like you said, trying to impress them, and then realizing that the important thing was getting the job done right, and it didn't matter what you dressed like, it mattered getting the birds banded and doing the research work that had to be done.
And, of course, the irony of the story also was that when we got back after that day of banding, our beautiful uniforms were covered in tree sap, and it took, like, forever to get the sap out of them. So we didn't dress like that again.
Back to the sweaty T-shirts, then.
You got it.
Yeah. Well, folks, if you think that that was a humorous story, there are 50 or more equally funny stories and some rather harrowing adventures and some really exciting times that both Jeff and his wife, Terry, and the folks they worked with in the many years that they have done their research work and their field work for wildlife around the world, mostly here in Wisconsin, but around the world. And you can get a copy of this book, aptly named Wrong Tree, at wrongtreebook.com. Well, Jeff, thanks so much for telling us your story in a recent show and then telling us this story so that folks get a flavor of your book here today.
You're more than welcome, Dan, and appreciate the invitation.
You bet. Jeff Wilson, author of Wrong Tree, website wrongtreebook.com. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Listen to more Outdoors Radio online at dansmalloutdoors.com. Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Among the many projects of the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin One of the most popular is the Great Wisconsin Birdathon. You can learn more at wisconservation.org if you click on the Trips tab and scroll down to Birdathon. And now joining us to tell us all about this year's Birdathon are Somi Gadamidi and Kate Williamson. Somi is the Event and Donor Relations Coordinator, and Kate is the Director of Conservation Programs for the Foundation. Kate, welcome back, and Somi, glad to have you on the show.
Thanks so much for having us, Dan. Yeah, we're happy to be here.
And for listeners who might not have heard of the Natural Resources Foundation, Kate, tell us what it's all about.
Statewide conservation organization that really focuses on Wisconsin. So we help protect our state's lands and waters and wildlife, and we do that through providing strategic funding, through leading partnerships, and connecting all people to nature, with the Birdathon being such a great example of that.
All right. Now, the Birdathon is not new. It started, gosh, about 10 years ago or so, didn't it?
Yeah, it started in 2012 and has raised more than $800,000 since that. So it's really awesome to see how it's grown.
Before we get into the details of how it works, where does the money go? How is it used?
So all the funding from the Birdathon goes into NRF Bird Protection Fund, which is set up to support the highest priority bird conservation needs for Wisconsin's birds. So that includes each year a variety of projects that encompass habitat work here in Wisconsin, as well as in stopover sites and in overwintering sites for our migrating birds in Central and South America. It has different projects that, again, just really help address the greatest needs for Wisconsin's birds.
All right. How does the Birdathon work? And it starts very soon, doesn't it?
Yeah, so registration is open now at wibirdathon.org, and then teams go out birding from April 15th to June 15th. You register online and make a website and share with your family and friends to fundraise for important bird projects. And really how you go out birding is very flexible, and you can do whatever is best for you. So anywhere within Wisconsin, some people go birding for the whole 2 months, and some people do the typical counting how many bird species they see within a 24-hour period. You can go hiking along a whole birding hotspot route, or even just have a sit in your backyard and see what birds come to you.
Are you trying to send participants to specific places, or are you free to pick your own spots?
Yeah, it's really flexible. You can go anywhere within Wisconsin.
So some people do this in 24 hours, but that's not required. Like you say, some people do it for 2 months. That's a lot of birding.
Yeah, we've been trying to celebrate the ways that Birdathon can be an accessible way for people to get out and bird. And a lot of people do the 24 hours, or not the full 24 hours, but a certain time frame within one day. We want to make it a fun, enjoyable way to participate. So if folks want to do a little bit here and there throughout the Birdathon time frame, which is April 15th through June 15th, that works too.
Okay. Let's say I'm not an experienced birder. How does this actually work? What do I do?
I'm also new to birding, I'll say, and there's really no experience level required. We're trying to get everyone out in the nature and connecting with birds, so I would suggest finding a team that's already registered, and you can reach out to them and see if they're willing to have you join, and then learning from those birders. There's a lot of great bird ID books at the libraries, a lot of resources on our website too, wibirdathon.org, to get involved with birding and the Birdathon.
We actually have quite a few teams, for example, from schools or youth groups who maybe aren't quite experienced birders yet, but we just really encourage people to get out and see what they can see. Try to identify birds, because we are trying to count species on your Birdathon day, not just for, I guess, self-described birders or bird experts, but really it's for everyone. Birds are such a great gateway for connecting to the outdoor world. We're hoping many people will join us in the Birdathon this year.
Okay, and I'm on your website, wibirdathon.org, right now. How do we raise money with this? Is it the number of birds, the number of different species, or a combination? How does that work?
After you register your team page or your individual page, Donations can be made either outright as a flat number, or a lot of people pledge per bird species seen. You pledge that you're going to donate, say, $5 based on how many bird species that that individual sees during their birdathon day.
Uh-huh. Okay. So if I have friends who are not birders but who want to help, can they pledge dollars based on the number of birds that I see or count?
Yeah, of course. A lot of the fundraising comes from people supporting the birders and people who registered, but you don't need to be registered to participate. That's a really great way to get involved, would also be to just support a birder who is registered in fundraising.
Typically, how many people participate in this event?
Last year, we had more than 400 participants and 50 teams, and we're hoping to see more back this year. We already have 33 teams registered. Go out and register on wibirdathon.org.
Now, is there competition with a prize for the team that, I don't know, sees the most birds or the greatest number of species, or is it just a friendly competition in that sense?
We do like to recognize teams that have seen the most species or raised the most in kind of different categories that we can, but really it's a pretty friendly competition. Just one fun example has been working with some of our partners like Pheasants Forever and Backcountry Hunters and Anglers, Rough Grouse Society, to try to see if we can get some friendly competition among some of those groups for Birdathon teams this year. In last year, my own team, so I captained the I'm With the Birds Millennial Falcons teams, and we ended up running into another team the same day at Pheasant Branch Conservancy, which is pretty fun. Definitely a lot of friendly competition happening.
All right. How many birds did you guys recognize last year?
I think we were just over 100 species.
Wow.
Last year. Yeah. A long day.
Yeah, I guess. Before we let you go, there are other ways to contribute to the Natural Resources Foundation. Anyone who buys a license, you mentioned the Rough Grouse Society and Pheasants Forever. Those folks who are members of those organizations, and a lot of listeners know that many of us buy our hunting and fishing licenses online, and there's always an opportunity to donate as much as you want, as little as $2 or, you know, on up to the Natural Resources Foundation. And that would all help. Not specifically the Birdathon cause, but that would help your work as well, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so that's the Cherish Wisconsin Outdoors Fund, which, as you mentioned, Dan, supports public land habitat management, so certainly helping with habitat needs for our birds and many other wildlife species across the state. Yeah, that happens when you purchase your hunting or fishing license, and we're super grateful for the folks who do say yes, whether it's $2 or $5 or whatever amount you choose. That all, you know, I think that's what's so amazing about the Cherish Fund, is it all adds up from small contributions from folks, and it has a really big impact on the ground in Wisconsin.
Yes, it certainly does. Well, we're going to let you go here, but one last time, where can people sign up? How do they do it?
You can sign up, learn more, make a donation at wibirdathon.org. And one more thing I'll mention is that organizational teams, nonprofits, bird clubs, and Wisconsin bird cities are also eligible to keep 50% of the funds they raise for their own organization and local bird conservation efforts. Last year, we put in over $22,000 back into the communities through that option.
Fantastic. So a team representing a locality or a nature center can actually raise some money to help birds in general, but also to help their own cause.
Yeah, it's a really great way to get your staff involved. It's a lot of fun. So we'll hope you'll join us and sign up at wibirdathon.org.
All right. Well, ladies, thank you so much. I appreciate your sharing this information. I hope a lot of listeners decide to participate this year, and happy birding to you.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You're quite welcome. That was Kate Williamson and Somi Gadamidi of the Natural Resources Foundation of Wisconsin talking about the Great Wisconsin Birdathon. You can learn more or sign up if you want to as an individual or as a team at wibirdathon.org. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Attention future hunters. Hunting season for turkey, small game, and deer is right around the corner. Don't wait to think about hunter education. The time to enroll is now. The Wisconsin DNR offers several options to choose from, making it easier than ever to enroll. Just browse for upcoming youth or adult hunter education classes at gowild.wi.gov and join the ranks of today's hunter education graduates who are ensuring the safe future of our hunting heritage. Classes fill up quickly, so don't wait. Enroll today. A message from Wisconsin DNR.
Here's a message from our friends at Remy Battery in Milwaukee, Escanaba, and Houghton. We at Remy Battery Company want to thank all of our customers and friends we have made over the past 90-plus years and your continued support of our local, family-owned company. Stop in and see the expertise of over 9 decades of battery knowledge and customer service. Let us take care of the batteries for all of your needs, from power tools to sump pumps and ATVs to hunting decoys, even down to the smallest hearing aids. Big and small, we have them all. Stop in for a free battery and electrical check before you hit the road, trails, or waters. Don't forget to ask your sales representatives about volume pricing. Call Remy at 414-384-0340 or visit online at remybattery.com for all your battery and battery accessory needs.
For the nonprofit Ruffed Grouse Society, the well-being of the ruffed grouse and American woodcock is a special priority. But the Society's conservation work benefits more than just these two game birds. The organization's programs help a long list of other young forest wildlife, including songbirds that must have thick, brushy habitat to survive. For more information about forest wildlife habitat management, contact the Ruffed Grouse Society toll-free at 888-JOIN-RGS.
Enjoy the ultimate shooting experience at the Range of Richfield, your one-stop shop for all shooters. Just north of the Richfield Cabela's store on Helson Drive, the Range of Richfield offers 12 state-of-the-art 25-yard indoor shooting lanes for all pistol and common rifle loads, classes in home defense, basic handgun and concealed carry, a retail shop, trophy mount display, and more in a welcoming, family-friendly setting. Open daily except Monday to the public and members. Your ultimate shooting experience, therangewi.com.
This is so good.
Why are you eating so much popcorn?
Well, I'm making a difference for Wisconsin schools, and I was able to easily shop online.
I mean, it does look yummy.
OMG, you've got to try this cheddar jalapeno.
Mmm, it is good.
Oh, and I ordered a bunch of other gourmet flavors, chocolate delight, cookies and cream, and even dill pickle, delivered to my door. And I help Wisconsin schools in the process. Go to the Wisconsin Popcorn Shop at civicmedia.us/shop. That's civicmedia.us/shop. And order now. The shop closes April 10th.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is
Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short.
Every day he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I think the advice I would give is you don't need to know all the answers. The craziest thing was believing that your dad knew everything. So as a dad, you felt like you had to know everything. You had to get everything right. It's okay to make mistakes. As long as it's coming from love, then, you know, it kind of starts to work itself out. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together, we did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
We all make promises, big and small, tested over time and distance, tried by circumstances and decisions.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America.
I do solemnly swear to bear true faith and allegiance.
To help you when you're in need.
To tell the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth.
To be considerate and caring, courageous and strong.
For better.
For worse.
In sickness and in health.
to love and cherish.
To be your loving, faithful friend.
Partner.
Child.
Parent.
Neighbor.
One of our most important commitments is to support our nation's veterans. Learn how you can help a veteran going through a difficult time by visiting MakeTheConnection.net.
Over the past few years, the COVID-19 pandemic has affected how we live our daily lives. Today, we also face a mental health pandemic that threatens our well-being as we attempt to rebuild our social networks and communities.
The pandemic has reminded us to value family, community, and our human connections. However, it has also left many of us feeling more isolated, confused, and alone, struggling to find meaning amid loss and uncertainty.
Today, 1 in 5 Americans experience emotional and mental health challenges, but many of us do not understand what we are facing or know how to ask for help.
At the American Psychiatric Association Foundation, we understand what you are going through, and we are here to help. Our vision is to build a mentally healthy nation for all. We work every day to eliminate stigma, combat mental illness and substance use disorders, and advance mental health. If you or someone you love needs help, you are not alone. Please visit mentallyhealthynation.org to learn more.
Welcome back to your source for the latest hunting and fishing information. Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Thanks for joining us on Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Wisconsin's spring turkey season is coming up soon. In fact, the youth turkey hunt is next weekend, April 15th and 16th. And the first period of the regular spring season starts on Wednesday, April 19th. You can learn more at dnr.wi.gov. And joining us now to help us get ready for spring turkey hunting is Mike Weber. He's the Hunter Education Administrator for Wisconsin's Department of Natural Resources. Mike, thanks so much for joining us, and welcome to the Outdoors Radio Network.
Thank you, Dan. Appreciate you having me on here today.
Youth turkey hunt is next weekend, as I mentioned. Who can participate, and how does that work?
Each year, our youth turkey hunt, it gives hunters under the age of 16, so anyone 15 years of age or under, have the opportunity to get out there. It'd be the weekend prior to the regular turkey season, and it's the 2 days, so Saturday and Sunday, where they'd be able to go out and get some hands-on turkey hunting experience and attempt to harvest a turkey. They still have to have their spring turkey license stamp and valid harvest authorization. That valid harvest authorization can be good for any period, but again, it's a great way to get out there prior to the season and get some hands-on experience.
Okay, and do they have to be accompanied by an adult?
They would, yeah. Even if they had completed hunter safety, they would still have to be accompanied by a qualified adult, so that'd be a person 18 years of age or older, and that adult is not able to accompany more than 2 youth hunters at a time during that mentor hunt.
Okay. And they can find out more on the website I mentioned.
Correct, yeah. If they go on the DNR website, they can type in youth turkey hunt. It should bring them to a page. Otherwise, we do have that DNR general customer service number that they'd be able to go on and search for and call as well if they have additional questions.
All right. Well, let's talk about hunting safety. Now, turkey hunters, we all know this, wear camouflage, and they make sounds like turkeys, which is a scenario that, you know, could cause problems, especially if you have a case of mistaken identity. I looked at the reported shooting incidents for the last couple of years, and there were none last spring and only one in 2021, but they do happen occasionally. What advice have you got for turkey hunters?
The biggest piece of advice that I would have for turkey hunters or any under that fact, and one of the biggest, I guess, lessons that you know you learn through a hunter safety course is that acronym TAB-K. When you follow those rules, so the T, treat every firearm as if it were loaded. A, always point your muzzle in a safe direction. B, be certain of your target, what is in front of it, and what is beyond it. And the K, keep your finger outside of the trigger guard until you're ready to shoot. So it's obviously important that before a hunter goes out that they know these rules, and then obviously when they get out there that they're actually following and practicing these rules to be as safe as possible when they go out there.
Now, in the heat of the moment, when a big buck walks out or a gobbler is strutting in front of you, sometimes we forget these rules. How can we remind ourselves to be safe all the time?
One thing that I would always do and emphasize when I would give hunter education classes is that I would always remind students or anybody that, you know, no matter how excited you get, or whether, like you say, you got a really big buck standing out in front of you or a turkey, when you fire, whether it's a shotgun for your turkey or a rifle for deer, you can never take that round back. That shot is fired and it's gone.
Mm-hmm.
So you want to make sure, no matter what the circumstances, to breathe, always think of those rules and always be mindful of them prior to going out, just to be as safe as possible. And then again, like I talked about before, you know, we always talk about these hunter education courses. Typically, there's a lot of youth getting into hunting that take these courses, but I always like to remind people, whether it's parents or maybe somebody that hasn't taken the course for, you know, a significant amount of years, it's never too late to put yourself through those courses again. So if you want a reminder of those safety methods and some of that great course information, we have a variety of options to go through those courses. Feel free to go to the DNR website and see the different options that we have, because obviously those safety rules are super important, and it's never too late to ever remind yourself of those important safety factors.
Absolutely. A technique that has become more popular in recent years, and it has various names. Some people call it reaping or scooting or sneaking, and maybe some other names as well, involves hiding behind a decoy or a turkey fan and sneaking toward a gobbler. That's a great way to get yourself shot, it seems to me. I don't know what your take is on that practice.
You know, obviously that method can be, like you said, very effective when going and attempting to harvest a bird. But again, just like you said, you know, you want to be aware there's other hunters that are on the landscape, and whether you're on private land, public land, you know, you can never assume that there's not another hunter out there. So you want to be as safe as possible when going out there, and it's important to ensure that other hunters definitely aren't mistaking you for a bird, and that you would get yourself in one of those potentially dangerous situations.
I've seen at least one of these devices that they sell now that has blaze orange patches on the wings or on the fan itself, so that it would give another hunter pause, I think, before shooting at a gobbler creeping toward him. But I don't think I'm ready to do it myself.
Yeah, I know there's different safety methods online, and besides that, you know, I believe one of the safety methods that's listed under turkey safe hunting practices on the DNR website even includes, you know, just transporting decoys afield and carrying them kind of to cover it up. Because again, like we talked about, you definitely don't want to be mistaken for a turkey when you're out there.
Yep, absolutely. Well, what about other folks? Because spring is here, there'll be hikers, birders, people looking for mushrooms. What advice have you got for non-turkey hunters and for turkey hunters as far as watching for other people?
Well, like I said, just when you're out there, you know, if you're a turkey hunter, just the importance of being safe and aware, you know, always following those rules of firearm safety. Because obviously, you know, if you're following all those rules, you know, you're not going to have those hunting incidents occur. And then, just like you said, I think it's really important for other people to be aware that this turkey season is occurring this spring when they're out there, whether they're parking along the road or going to hike along the trail, and if they see, you know, potentially another vehicle, or even if they don't, just being mindful that, yes, this season is going on and they have the potential to be on the same piece of property as a turkey hunter maybe at that time.
I used to do turkey hunting seminars years ago when the season was new here in Wisconsin, and one of the things we always talked about was don't wear red, don't wear white, like a white t-shirt. Don't have just the V of your shirt open to show that white spot on your throat. Don't carry a red bandana. Don't even carry a red soda can or an apple, because you might be mistaken for a bird. But all of those things that we might do ourselves aren't going to guarantee that somebody else isn't going to be trigger happy or make a mistake.
Yeah, for sure. I think being mindful when those people are out there and being wearing, obviously, you know, you definitely don't want to look like a turkey. So what you had said about those colors is very important. And then, again, to go back to it, just stressing the importance of those hunters to really follow those main rules of firearm safety, and just the importance of identifying your target and know exactly what you're shooting at before you pull the trigger. I mean, that's so important.
Yep, absolutely. Well, it seems that the message is getting out there, because there have only been a couple of incidents, and I think one of the recent ones a couple years ago was a shooter shooting himself accidentally in the foot, and another one, though, was somebody shooting at a person wearing a red jacket and mistaking the red flash of color for a turkey's head. But again, those would not have happened if the people had been more careful and had followed those basic rules.
For sure. And obviously, since hunter education came around in 1967, just the coursework has done a great job of overall reducing the amount of hunting incidents that occur in Wisconsin. And I always like to be mindful of putting it back on our instructors. I mean, our volunteer instructors with those courses do a great job preparing our students for getting out there and keeping our public safe and promoting those safe hunting practices.
They certainly do. Well, any other advice for hunters or others out there enjoying the spring activities before we let you go?
Well, just obviously to be safe and follow those four main rules of firearm safety when they're out there. Make sure to read over and understand the regulations. And obviously, if you do have any type of questions or concerns, feel free to go on the DNR website and get a contact where oftentimes, you know, you'll be directed to a local warden or something along those lines that can assist you with those questions.
All right. Well, Mike, thank you so much for that advice, and we hope everyone has a safe turkey hunt this year and a safe time in the woods, whatever they're doing outside.
Yeah, absolutely. Good luck, everybody, and be safe.
All right. Mike Weber is the Hunter Education Administrator for the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources. You can learn more about the things we've talked about on the DNR website, dnr.wi.gov. I'm Dan Small. You are listening to Outdoors Radio.
Introducing the all-new OutdoorNews.com, the most trusted source for all things out of doors in the Great Lakes region, just got better. At OutdoorNews.com, you'll now have full access to every outdoor news story, breaking news and updates, our comprehensive fishing and hunting reports, pro tips, and much more for our seven-state region and beyond. Top hunters and anglers look to Outdoor News to keep them up to date and ahead of the crowd. Now it's easier than ever with the all-new OutdoorNews.com.
Step outside, let us be your guide. Florence County, Wisconsin.
Are you looking for that perfect Northwoods destination for outdoor recreation? Florence County has over 200,000 acres of unclouded public land with 160 plus miles of beautiful ATV UTV trails, many lakes and rivers to fish or paddle, seven wild river waterfalls to explore, horse trails with campgrounds, and friendly bars and restaurants. Go to exploreflorencecounty.com and plan your trip today.
Flo has made world-class recreational and utility trailers for 40 years, and the industry-leading innovations keep on coming. Choose an all-aluminum UT model or Cargo Max, the only utility trailer with a molded polymer bed, integrated sides, and an engineered aluminum frame. With either one, you'll know you don't have just any old trailer. If a new trailer is on your mind, check out floeintl.com. Flo Trailers, where the rubber meets the road.
If your rifle, shotgun, handgun, or muzzleloader needs work this season, call Roger Williams at Northern Magnetic LLC. A licensed professional gunsmith for over 35 years, Roger can repair, customize, rebarrel, install sights and scope mounts, and more on all firearms makes and models. When you need a professional gunsmith, call Roger at 262-339-1798 or visit fixguns.com. That's 262-339-1798 or fixguns.com.
The Midwest's largest fishing website, lake-link.com, is your online fishing resource. 90% of Lake Link's features are yours to use free of charge. And members get access to Lake Link's online lake map library, lets you get GPS coordinates of any spot on the lake, and export waypoints to your onboard electronics. Members also get free outdoor classified ads, discounts on online store merchandise, and a whole lot more. You can also listen to Outdoors Radio 24/7 on Lake Link. Listen to this week's show, catch any of our past shows, subscribe to our podcast, or even sign up for our weekly e-newsletter so you'll know in advance what's coming up right here. Just type in the keyword radio. See what you've been missing. Log on to lake-link.com today. That's lake-link.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio with Dan Small.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Jeff Kelm. We're brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at cedarlakesales.com. And their launch into summer event is going on right now. Final day here this Saturday for most of our listeners, that's today. They'll have the Coast Guard personnel out on hand May 13th for boat safety checks. If you want to get involved in that, you can check out everything that they got going on their website or their Facebook page. We're also brought to you by Ducks Unlimited. Find out about their upcoming DU Expo at duckexpo.com. And by the Wisconsin DNR Hunter Education Program. Want to go hunting? Sign up for hunter education or learn to hunt classes at dnr.wi.gov.
And if our TV show Outdoor Wisconsin is not airing where you live, you can always watch past episodes at milwaukeepbs.org. And our Deer Hunt Wisconsin show from last year and the last several years is archived on the Deer Hunt Wisconsin TV YouTube channel.
And anything that you want to listen to from this radio show, you want to share it with friends and family, or heard something cool you want others to hear, you can find it online all the time. Go to lake-link.com, go to the Outdoor Radio tab, and they archive our show, this show, past shows up till about a year ago. We'll have all those shows in there. And you can download them, take them with you, share them with your friends and family. You can find Dan on social media throughout the week at Dan Small Outdoors. Find me at Hardwater Jeff.
There's a new report from the Nonpartisan Wisconsin Policy Forum, and it's actually nice to see something nonpartisan these days because everything seems to be so polarized. It's called This Land is Our Land. It traces the history of conservation funding in Wisconsin. A lot of statistics and articles about who pays for conservation, and you and most listeners know that we pay for it. It makes some eye-opening comparisons with what's going on in other states, and you can check it out online at wispolicyforum.org. That's wispolicyforum.org. And if you've ever thought about becoming a conservation warden, the DNR is looking for new recruits. The application period starts on Monday, runs through May 4th. There's a live webinar next Tuesday, April 11th at 6 p.m. You can learn more on the DNR website. Keywords are warden recruitment. Remember, I'll be speaking in Kenosha Monday night. Details on my Facebook page. And don't forget to vote in the Conservation Congress Spring Wildlife Hearings on the DNR website. Information there. Keywords, spring hearings. Our theme music is by Warren Nelson. He's got a gig coming up next Saturday, April 15th at 7 p.m. at the Harbor View in Washburn. For more information, visit warrennelson.com. I'm Dan Small here with Jeff Kelm. Get outside this weekend and be sure to join us again next week for Outdoors Radio.
Let's get to the perfect speed. Oh, how I love leaving the shore behind. When the cool night swallows the moose's nose and the heron is fishing on one cold leg. When the loon cries lover in the blue north wind, I'll be trolling home to you. When my wrist gets a little chilly on the gunwale, when my lazy Ike is just too lazy to lure, when the worms go dry in the coffee can, honey, I'll be trolling home to you.
Uh-oh, Brad's buzzed.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, he's starting with the woots. And now a speech.
I just want to say that friendship is about heart. Heart and brain. Who's with me?
Good thing is, he knows when he's buzzed.
And my brain is saying, when it's time to go home, somebody call me a ride.
Love that guy.
Me too.
Know your buzzed warning signs? Call for a ride when it's time to go home. Buzz driving is drunk driving. A message from NHTSA and the Ad Council.
Rick Smith Show, where working people come to talk.
When we got back from the Working Class Heroes radio tour, one of the things that people asked is, what'd you learn? As you're going through rural America, what'd you find? Found angry people, and angry for cause. But the sad reality is they've been fed decades of outrage candy, and they're angry at the wrong people. They're angry at their neighbors. They're not angry at the very wealthy where they should be. Be sure to tune in live weeknights, 8 to 10 p.m. across the Civic Media Radio Network, and have your voice heard.
What if one day you went to your secret hiding place? You know, that spot that only you know about? And instead of what you came for, you found something a little different. What if instead of your private stash, you found a simple
WFHR phone number? Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Locally grown radio from